Well, good morning. Good to see you all here today. A couple of things as we get started here. First of all, this is the beginning of our week of emphasis on prayer as a church, and as both I've mentioned last week, Pastor Greg, in the previous weeks, this is something new and something we'd like to make something of an annual tradition, to just have a time at the beginning of each year where we think about actively as a church praying, and just an area I think we can grow together, not only individually but also corporately in prayer. So this morning I'm just going to have a brief lesson on the subject of prayer. We'll see how far we get into it here today. Next week you'll see this, or have seen this already, in the handout that's been in our bulletins about the schedule for the week of prayer. Next week during Sunday school, we're going to have what we're going to call a concert of prayer. So we're going to have different prayers during our Sunday school time and have different ways in which we will pray, some with leading, some together with small groups at tables and things like that, just a time to focus on prayer. So that's going to be throughout this week. I'm going to be preaching on the subject of prayer this morning in our morning message. Pastor Greg will be next week, and throughout the week, I want you to think about that subject of prayer. Following next week, I'm going to resume, we've taken a long break, going to resume our course on New Testament introduction. We're well past the halfway point in that, but we'll get back into that and finish that, God willing, the first week of February. Also, as we think about the subject of prayer, and this has been mentioned the last few weeks in our morning service, we're encouraging us as a church to think about focusing both Monday of this week and Friday this week on prayer. And we'd like, if possible, to fill almost the whole day, if not the whole day, of people praying in the church. And there's been a sign-up sheet out in the back that isn't always hard to, always easy to see. It's sometimes hard to see. And two things I noticed about it. One is, I don't think a lot of people realize that there's two sides to it. So there's more slots that you could fill. And so we want to give people a chance to sign up for this. This is what you're committing to do, right? It's a 15-minute slot that either you as an individual or maybe you as a couple. So... That's probably a good illustration of our prayers sometimes. Sometimes it really is. We either use an individual, as a couple, as a family, or maybe both as an individual, one slot as a family, would commit to just praying for 15 minutes. So you say, man, I don't know if I've ever prayed that long. Don't worry. This morning, Pastor Greg is going to be explaining, giving out a little booklet to help you think through how you could pray for that time period. So it's just a time of focused prayer. Nobody's obligated to do this, but I'm going to start it over here and pass it around. If you guys would just pass that around, there's a day on there for Friday and Monday. And if you've already signed up or you say, I know I can't do that, that's fine. Nobody's obligated to, but maybe there's a slot you would be committed to pray for. My family, I have not signed up yet. We plan to. We're just looking for areas that we can fill in if our places that other people aren't able to. So for some of you, that might be easy to do while you're driving to work. Some of you in the mornings, in the evenings, in the afternoons, with your family, whatever it may be, just consider that, just to have us focus time together as a church of prayer. Now, as to our lesson this morning, as that's making its way around, there was a handout in the back. I hope you got one of those. If not, you can follow along just fine without it. I did note that some of the numbering got messed up when I printed here, so you might see that you are starting with a number 5 on your first page instead of a number 1. I apologize for that greatly. Not really. It just happens. All right. But I think you'll still be able to follow along just fine as we go through this lesson thinking about prayer. And today, just by way of introduction, I want to highlight some ways to improve your prayer life as a Christian. There's your first blank there. Highlight some ways to improve your prayer life as a Christian. And here, I'm dealing with a problem that I think many Christians have in prayer, is that they don't feel like they can pray very much or for very long. Here's my observation about most Christians when it comes to prayer. Every Christian I've ever met who's genuinely born again tells me they think they should pray more. And then when you ask them, why don't you? Sometimes it's busyness. Sometimes it's difficulty fitting in the schedule. But if you really drill down to a lot of people, if you ask them really why they don't pray more, they say, I don't know what to pray for. I don't know how to pray that long. I feel like I'm repeating the same things over and over. So I want to talk about some ways you can improve your prayer life. Christians struggle with several problems in their prayer. First of all, their minds wander. Amen. I heard a lot of groans in here about that. I'm praying to God, and then all of a sudden I'm thinking about the laundry that needs to be done, or the oil change in the car, or the kids that need to be shuffled around today, or the test that is due, or the article I read on the news earlier this day, or that TV show that I didn't even want to think about that TV show that I enjoy watching, but now it's just in my mind, and I can't get it out, and my mind's wandering about wherever it is. Okay, our minds wander. That's a problem. It's a problem for me. Number two, Christians run out of things to pray for. I run out of things to pray for sometimes. I have my list of six things to pray for this week that I saw in the prayer chain at church, or a few things in my own personal life, and then I'm done, and I'm like, I read about these Christians that pray for in like an hour. Like, what in the world do these people say? How do they possibly do that? By the way, just FYI, I do not often pray for an hour. Okay, so I'm not standing up here telling you that I do that. I'm still growing in this too, but you hear, you read, you listen to people who do this kind of thing. How in the world do they do that? What do they talk about? Number three, similarly, they repeat the same things over and over again. Repeat the same things over and over again. I pray, and I end up saying the same phrases again and again. In fact, sometimes I feel like I'm guilty of Jesus' warnings of vain repetitions in his Sermon on the Mount. Because if you analyze your prayers, you discover that for many of us, we end up using sort of stock phrases and terms. This is not historically Baptist, by the way, but more modern-day Baptists have kind of eschewed and pushed away the idea of saying publicly the Lord's Prayer. And the argument is that you shouldn't do that because that's vain repetition. And yet, I think if most of us are honest, that we find in our own prayer life, we end up saying the exact same things again and again and again and again. So I'm not going to vain repetition the words of Jesus, I'll vain repetition my own words. And then when we think about prayer, we can sometimes feel guilty about that. Like, I don't say anything new or different. And number four, this is maybe just kind of a combination of all these things. They're bored. I won't ask for a raise of hands. But have you ever felt that way in prayer? This is boring. Just sitting here. So we come along with a sign-up sheet and says, hey, pray for 15 minutes. And you don't say, I don't know how to pray for more than 2 minutes. And furthermore, and I think more importantly, I think many Christians can feel guilty for not praying enough. They feel guilty about the things that we've just mentioned. So today I want to point you, as I said, to some ways in which you can improve your prayer life as a Christian. We'll see how many of them we get to. We'll at least touch on all of them very briefly. I think these are some ways that can help you to avoid these problems as a Christian. And more than just like checking off a list of things as a Christian, saying, okay, now I can actually do the Christian duty of prayer. And even more than just not feeling guilty about our lack of prayer, I think that these things can actually help you genuinely grow in your prayers toward God. And not just for the sake of praying, but actually help you to genuinely grow as a Christian, genuinely grow as a Christian. So I'm going to suggest very briefly, and we could talk actually for an hour on each one of these in some ways, but I'm going to suggest just briefly highlight some things just to get your minds thinking about four different ways that you might grow in prayer. And I have found personally that using each of these at different times in my life have helped me grow in prayer. In some cases, I find myself kind of rotating through these things over the years. It's like when one becomes too much of habit and I realize I'm not really growing in prayer, to switch to something different. And these are methods in which you can learn to pray better. But more than methods, there are actually ways in which you can grow as a Christian. All right, so four different ways to improve your prayer life. And some of these you've heard me talk about in various ways over the years, but I just want to bring them together here in one lesson, God willing, this morning. First, we have the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And of course, Luke's Gospel, some translations add, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I don't think, as I've taught in the past, I don't think that repeating, there you go, letter A, repeating this prayer is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. Some people worry about repeating that prayer because Jesus, in the context of when it shows up, for instance, in Matthew's Gospel, if you read in Matthew 6, 8, right before that, Jesus gives in his sermon, a rebuke about vain repetitions. And so some people have concluded that therefore we should not repeat that prayer. But the issue actually in whether one would repeat the prayer or not is not whether you repeat a prayer. The issue is whether it's vain. In other words, you don't really care or not thinking about it. Now, there is a danger in saying the same thing over and over and over again, that it can become vain. But repeating, for instance, the words, I love you, to your husband or wife, you shouldn't think, you know, that's vain repetition. I don't need to say that anymore. Okay? The key, and it's not always that we say those words with birds singing and violins playing soft romantic music in the background. The key is not that it's not like that necessarily all the time, but that we think about it and it means something. Yeah.
With their lips they draw nigh me, but their hearts are far from me.
That's right in that context too. Yeah. Absolutely. So repetition is okay, but I'm not actually talking here just about repeating that prayer, though I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't really think it's a bad thing. In fact, I've encouraged, especially younger Christians, to start there, just to start with that. But more than repeating it, letter B, however, this prayer is a pattern for how we ought to pray. It's a pattern for how we ought to pray. And if you think actively about this pattern, it opens up ways in which you can talk to the Lord. So, for instance, and I'll just go through this quickly, I've preached whole sermons on this, I'm not going to belabor all of this, but just remind you of some things. There are six requests in this prayer to God. The first one is, hallowed be your name. Somehow that came out as hallowed by your name in your notes, all right? Should be hallowed be your name. By somehow, I mean me. I messed that up. All right, the word hallow literally means to set apart. It's the word for sanctify. This is a way of making clear in our prayers the special nature of God. This part of prayer is when we talk to God, not just about the things that we want, but rather talk to Him about who He is and what He is like. And that involves saying things about God that make Him special and glorious and praiseworthy. Now, if you are not in the habit of including that kind of thing in your prayers, I would just tell you that when Jesus taught His disciples how to pray, this is the first thing He says we ought to do. It's the first thing He says we ought to do. We ought to praise, hallow, make special, set apart God's name as glorious. Now, if you think that's kind of awkward, like, how do you do that? For those of you who are married, I hope you do this with your spouses. You ever compliment them? You ever say, you know what, I just love it, this about you? If you don't, today's a good day to start, right? I'll just say that's a really healthy thing to do in marriage. Most of you, if you've forgotten that, you used to do that when you were dating. You know, you told the other person what was so wonderful about them. And not just the things that they did, but even who they are as a person. That's an essential part of great relationships. And so what is there that we could talk to God about that makes Him so special and glorious and praiseworthy? Well, you tell me. What are aspects of God's character that you could talk to him about and tell him that you enjoy and love? What do we got? He's holy. What kind of holiness? What does that mean, that God's holy? All right, so he's pure and he's holy. He's righteous. He's without sin.
Long-suffering.
Oh, there's one. You ever come to a prayer and know that you really need that today? You could wax eloquent just for a while about that. In fact, even in prayer, I'll get you in 1 second, even in prayer and long-suffering, it might be that you say those words and just have to pause and be quiet as part of your prayer. What was you going to say? Yeah.
On each subject there, his righteousness, his holiness, his joy, you could make a whole prayer on each one of those things. So just mentioning holiness brings up so many other things that 15 minutes begins to look short, even though it's still really long for a lot of us, myself included.
Yeah. Yeah, when we think even about his long suffering, you might pour out our hearts about how we don't measure up to that or how much you need that and how much today you enjoy that. Going back to the husband and wife analogy, have you ever had to thank and praise your spouse for the grace that they showed you because you weren't so nice today? I mean, sometimes you do that with God. I mean, suddenly that's just a way to pray. You know, we could talk about God's righteousness. We could talk about his power, his immense knowledge, the joy of just thinking about that as you are driving home from work and looking around at the fact that God knows every single snowflake that you're driving by. I mean, you just start thinking about those things, and suddenly it's like, well, there's a lot of things that you can hallow God's name with.
The snowflakes, are you bringing up his wrath?
Yeah, there you go, yeah. Nah, some days I feel that way. I'm not a snow guy, but it still is beautiful, and it is immense, and it is powerful. All right, so here's hallowed be your name. Second request in the Lord's prayer, your kingdom come, your kingdom come. This is where we pray. We're looking for the future when God and Jesus will reign. Will reign. Now, some people might think, well, this takes like less than 5 seconds to say these words, your kingdom come. But let me suggest that this can actually take many different forms. For one thing, the scripture speaks of this in many ways. You have statements like this in the New Testament, even so come Lord Jesus, that's another way of praying, your kingdom come. Or Romans 16, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. And even if you just think about that phrase, about the fact that Jesus is going to crush Satan, that opens up avenues of just longing for Jesus to come. You know, God, I'm so tired of the difficulty I have with my own sin. The God of Satan, or the God over Satan, may he come and crush Satan. I want that to be gone. Your kingdom come. Or, God, I am so tired and weary of the weight of my physical disability, suffering that I'm experiencing. Your kingdom come. And those are ways in which we can pray. Yes, sir.
This phrase is gospel-centric as well, because I believe there's a number. I believe there's a number that God knows where he ceases to be patient with mankind. And to say your kingdom come actually puts the onus on us in some sense to be participating in what God wants us to do now.
It has a transformative effect upon our lives. Transformative effect, yes. So, your kingdom come. This is a way to pray. And that gets us to number three. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this certainly can have a future element to it, but I think this emphasizes the more transformation side of things now. Here, we are praying for God's will to be done in this place, in your life, in your family, in your church, community, workplace, a nation. So, in this place, your life, family, church, community, workplace, nation, and I'm sure there could be other things that you could put in that list. And sometimes that prayer of your will be done comes out of a heart of agony, because as you think about your own life or your own family or your own church or your own neighborhood, your own community, your own nation, your own workplace, whatever it is, you're agonizing because you go, there's things not right here. And God, I'm praying that this would be fixed. You know, things aren't right between my husband and I or my wife and I. God, your will be done on this earth. And that starts with me. Things are difficult right now at my workplace. Help me to be a person who fulfills your will in the midst of the stresses there. And name them specifically. So personally, you might need to pray this with your family, with your nation, your state. So these are ways in which we can pray your will on earth be done as it is in heaven. Number four, give us this day our daily bread. Here we pray for our needs. We pray for our needs. Needs would include things like our health, provisions, energy, resources, needs that we have. Now, here is something that may help expand the way you pray. Pray not just for what you don't have, but pray also for what you do have, too. It's easy for us, as we live in a very rich Western culture, to really neglect the idea of praying for our daily necessities, because we just kind of assume that they will be there, and if for some reason they're not, the government will come in and take care of it. Right? And in many ways, I'm thankful for the safety nets that we have, both in a governmental and community level, but we can just assume that all of those needs are easily met. Praying even for the things that we assume that we just already have is not a bad thing. Because the reality is that they can be taken away in a moment. And so praying for them just shows a dependency on them. So pray for those things. God, today I need to earn enough for the family. Today I need to get these things done. We need this bill met. Today, as I pay these bills, I recognize that this only comes from you, whatever it may be. Number five, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This, of course, is a prayer of confession. This ought to be a regular part. I would advocate a daily part of our time of prayer. We pray for God to forgive us of our sins. And as we do that, the way to do that practically is to name them directly, not just a general prayer of, please forgive me for all my sins, though that certainly can be done at times, but more specifically, these sins, God, when I said this, when I did this, when I thought this, please, God, forgive me for those sins. Name the sins. And then finally, number six, lead us not into temptation. And that temptation can be all sorts of things. Help me to deal with the stresses at work in a way that shows Christ today. Help me deal with my spouse, because we're kind of at odds today, God, and I don't want to say something that would damage our relationship more, and more importantly than me with her or with him, but with you. With my kids, with what I watch for entertainment today, with my time, with my thoughts, even the way I feel. And name those things directly about how we might pray to God to lead us not into those temptations. Now, I'll just say that if you just start thinking about those categories and you start practicing this, you'll find that pretty soon your prayers will be longer than 2 minutes. And suddenly they're 4 minutes. And suddenly the more you practice, they're 8 minutes. And then 15 minutes seems like it goes pretty fast if you start using these categories to pray. So that's one way, a method I've found to improve our prayer life. The next are going to go a little bit faster here because some of it will greatly overlap. Here's a second one, and this will be in your book here today. I believe it's in the book. And that is the method of using acts A-C-T-S, Acts. This is an acrostic to help you remember how to pray, how to pray. And the acrostic stands for this, number, or letter B, it stands for adoration, adoration. This is where we adore God, worship God for who he is. This would be very similar to what Jesus would speak about when hallowed be your name. Adoration, A-D-O-R-A-T-I-O-N. Letter C, confession, confession. Confess our sins to the Lord. We already touched on that in the Lord's Prayer. Confession. Spend time specifically, as I mentioned, naming the sins and confessing them to God. Letter D, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. That's what T stands for. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving. Now, what's the difference between, someone might ask, between adoration and thanksgiving? Adoration focuses more on the character of God. Thanksgiving focuses on the gifts God gives. Now, there's no doubt that there's overlap between the two, but hear this difference. When we adore God, we love him for his nature and his essence. When we thank God, we love him for what flows out of that nature and essence. So here we might give thanks for specific good gifts in our lives. Things that family, friends, vehicle, home, warmth, job, joy in growing in Christ, perseverance through difficult trials. So thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, by the way, if you look in the New Testament, and I think it's in the Old, but especially in the New, is an essential mark of Christianity. Like many people would say, it is the defining mark of Christianity. And then letter E, supplication. It's an old word, but it shows up in our Bibles. Supplication is, these are our requests from God. God, I need these things today. Now, somebody might say, which do you prefer, the Lord's Prayer or Acts as a model? As I mentioned, I think both are helpful, and at times I've used different ones because I realize I'm kind of growing stale in my prayer life and I just need to think more clearly again. Changing things up is not always a bad thing. Acts is a good model, acrostic. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. It's just a pattern of thinking about, these are the things I want to pray for. Here's a third area of prayer, or a way to improve our prayers. And that is through the prayers of Paul, Paul begins many of his letters with prayer, and these are wonderful. Get my blank right. Patterns of prayer. There we go. They're wonderful patterns of prayer. So let's read some scripture here for just a little bit. I'm not going to look up all of these. Can someone look up for us 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 9? Somebody do that. Scott, Pastor Greg, I saw your hand. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7. Somebody Philippians 1, 3 through 11. Sarah. And then let's do one more. This is a personal letter, so let's do Philemon 4 through 7. Philemon 4 through 7. Who's got that one for me? Thanks, Josh. All right. So what I just want to, we're just going to read through these, the ones that I just listed off. There's a whole list there for you to use. But what I want you to do is, as we hear them read, to think about the kinds of things Paul thanked God for or prayed for in these prayers. Okay, so that's what we're just listening for. And from them, you might gain some themes of how you could pray, and specifically pray in praise and thanksgiving, but also pray for other Christians. That's really essential to how Paul prayed. All right, so whoever had that first one in 1 Corinthians, go for it.
1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 9, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
All right, now if you listen to that, are there some things that are worth praying for yourself or your fellow brothers and sisters or your family in there? There's a ton of things. I mean, you could literally take that and use that as a guide for your prayer for the day right there. And just think about how this applies to my relationships and people around me and my own heart, my own soul. So thanks for myself personally and also applied to other people. All right, 2 Corinthians 1:3-7.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all of our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction, through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as the suffering of Christ overflow to us, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that as you share in the suffering, so you will also share in the comfort.
So there's a different theme in this prayer of thanksgiving and blessing, and that is of personal comforts in the midst of sorrow and sufferings. So a different way, category of things to pray for. Philippians 1:3-11.
I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God.
So there's Paul's introductory prayer, and there you have a great focus on Christian growth and development, maturity for other saints. By the way, I don't always do this every Sunday morning, but many of my prayers are actually guided by a passage of Scripture. In fact, a couple of weeks, somebody caught me in this for the first time. Nobody noticed before. Somebody said, Pastor, were you praying through, they texted me and said, were you praying through Psalm 16? I said, yes, I was. How did you know that? And this individual said, because I was reading that 2 days in a row for my devotions, and you're up there and going, this sounds exactly like what was in that psalm. And yes, it was. I had an outline of things to pray through. Today, I'm actually going to be praying through, briefly, the text that Sarah just read. It will actually function to govern the prayer. And I will not be at all offended if you want to this morning have your eyes open and looking at the text of Scripture as I pray. That might be a helpful instruction for you to think about how these things might be applied and stated in public prayer or in personal private prayer. Lastly, Philemon 4 through 7.
I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother.
So there is a very personal note of prayer for an individual. And Paul is just delighted about how this man's love, Philemon's love, not only refreshed his own soul, but for the saints around him. So you can use the prayers of Paul as a way to think about how you might pray. And this is specifically really helpful for your own personal growth and Christian development, but also thinking about how to pray spiritually for other Christians. That's really where I think this is really helpful. So if you say, you know what, I do a really good job asking for things that God needs. I do a really good job praying in praise and thanksgiving to God. I do that well, but I don't do so well in praying not just for the needs of other Christians, but for the spiritual growth and development of them. Use Paul's prayers, and I've listed them out there for you to use in your prayer life. Finally, and I'm just going to touch on this very briefly, and that is praying scripture. And this method of prayer corresponds wonderfully with devotions. And really all it does is it just uses the scripture that you are reading for your daily devotion or before you're going to pray and lets it be a guide to prayer. In this format, you let what the scripture teaches you about God, about Jesus, about the Spirit, about ourselves, and so on, to guide what you pray for that day. And these categories can apply to your own life, but also to the lives of others as well. And I literally just this morning just flipped open my Bible and I landed in Isaiah 40. All right, so turn to Isaiah 40 for me. And this will end our time together. And I just read down to verse number 8. This is a familiar text. It's kind of in the center of the Bible, which is why I got close to it when I flipped open. God says, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. And I just want you to imagine that you're going through your devotions, you're reading through your Bible, and you're thinking about what to pray for. You're coming in Isaiah 40. What kind of things could you use this to guide in your prayers? It's pretty easy, actually. We can thank God for his comfort in the midst of our own failures and sorrows. We can even plead for God's comfort for our own soul. There's tons of adoration in this. Your God, my God, does this personally. You are my God. What a joy that is. There's clearly in this text forgiveness of sins that are brought up. God doesn't hold their iniquities against them forever. He relents. Praise God for his forgiveness. There's a longing for God's kingdom to come in here. You know, this is clearly, if you've been reading through Isaiah and your devotions, you've figured out by now Isaiah is looking forward to the hope of Jesus and the Messiah and his coming. So there's this longing that would come. There's this desire for God's glory to be seen at the end of this text in every part of the globe. That could guide your prayers. There is thanks that God has already been making this plan work out. In the middle of this text, a highway in the desert, all of that stuff, who's that referring to? The New Testament picks up on this pretty clearly.
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist, right? A voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. God, thank you that your plan of redemption is already in motion. There's also delight in God's word. God has revealed his word, and when he speaks, it is eternally true. Much to thank God for in that. So that's just a random text that I just picked out today, and there's lots more things that you can use as guideposts in your prayer life. Now, here's what I would just say to you in conclusion. Each one of these could be unpacked further, and I would love to discuss them with you if you have questions about them. But if you say, I struggle in prayer, I'd say pick one of these and start. And I think the first two are probably the best places to start, either that Acts model or the Lord's Prayer, and use that to help guide you in your prayer and see how that might improve little by little as you practice your life of prayer. All right, I'm a couple of minutes over time, so I need to be done. Let me pray for you, and then we will be dismissed. God, all of us confess, we could even just hear it audibly in this room as we began our time today, that we have wandering minds. We can easily be bored, even with you, tragically, as that may seem, and even to say publicly, it has entered into our minds and hearts at times. We can find ourselves kind of on autopilot, repeating the same things in our prayer, and we can feel guilty because we know of your commands in the Scripture to pray, and we know of the delight that you express in hearing our prayers, and yet we find ourselves often lacking in these things. And so, God, I pray that you would help, that these tools might be useful in each one of our lives individually, that we may grow individually in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and collectively grow as well. Use these things in our lives for your glory and for our personal growth and good. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.